Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the evening service. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Well, good evening, everybody. It's lovely to have you with us here. And let me also add my welcome to Natasha's. It's brilliant that you've come to join us here this evening. And I know we've come from lots of different places, lots of different kind of stages of faith, lots of different backgrounds. Maybe you're in here for the first time ever in your life. It's lovely to have you here. Maybe you've been here many times. Maybe you come back after a long time away. Wherever you are on that spectrum, it's great to have you here. We've come together to worship God above all, worship him for what he's done for us. But also we've come together to be with one another. And I thought it might be nice to just start off by just enjoying one another's company a little bit for a moment. If you're in a bad mood with the person next to you, you don't want to, this is going to loosen you up in a moment. Okay, so I would like you to chat to the person next to you. I've got a quiz for you. Okay, quiz is probably the wrong. It's a question for you. Can I have that first? Right, okay. These are, now you're going to need a little bit of eyesight for this, okay? You may have to tell the person next to you. Okay, if you had to send one of these three Christmas cards, which one would you send and why? Okay, or in other words, which is your favorite Christmas card? Right, turn to the person next to you and tell them which one you like. Right, okay. Hold that thought. You can continue that discussion over a glass of apple spice later. Now, listen, no, there's no judgment here, okay? We love one another. But I do want to know which one you chose. So first of all, if you picked the sort of slightly pink one on that side, put your hand up. Oh, that is more than I was expecting. Okay, so you picked what is probably the original Christmas card. So I don't know what that says about you, but there we go. Commissioned in 1843 by Henry Cole, the first director of the Victoria and Albert Museum. His family is depicted in the middle, enjoying a feast. Everyone's having the vino, including the kids. But on the outside, there are pictures of them looking after the local poor. Okay, that was, interestingly, it was the first commercial Christmas card. It was sold a shilling each. It was a total commercial flop. But by the end of the decade, Christmas cards were the thing. Okay, well, who went for the Robin Redbreast? Ah, yeah, no, that was a popular one. Okay, so it turns out, I did my research, of course, that apparently the postmen who delivered the Christmas cards, once they got kind of popular, all wore red uniforms. And therefore, the origin of the Robin on the Christmas card was like they look the same as the people who deliver them. There you go. Anyone know that? There we go. Right. Okay, good. Now, and who went for the lovely St. Nick? Very good. Because what you were thinking, of course, is that early Christian bishop from Antalya, Turkey, was just a really inspiring figure, the way that he secretly gave gifts to people. And you love those theological treatises he wrote as well. Or something like that. There's a lot to Christmas, isn't there? There is a lot to Christmas. A lot of stuff around it. And much of it is a great joy, but it barely scratches the surface of what it's all about. And actually, I find it sometimes quite hard to get to the bottom of Christmas at all. And actually, even if we get a card that puts Jesus' birth on the front, even then, it's still not obvious. The manger, the stable, the star, the shepherds, the wise men. What does it all mean? I mean, it tells us Jesus comes at Christmas. Jesus comes at Christmas. Christmas is the moment. that child called Jesus is born. But what does that mean for me? What does it mean for my life? What does it mean for the real, complete me that's just come in today with all the joys and challenges of my existence, my hopes and my fears? Well, I want to spend just a moment with you exploring some words that were written by the early Christian writer and church planter, St. Paul. We've heard them already in that little video at the beginning. And as we walk through those, I'd like to invite you to think about it for yourself and consider how you will respond to that same Jesus today. So here is what the Apostle Paul wrote. He wrote this to one of the early churches in the Roman Empire, and it's what Christians since then have believed. Philippians 2, 6 to 7. Though Christ Jesus was in very nature God, he did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. The first thing that Paul says in those verses is that Jesus comes before Christmas. Jesus comes before Christmas. You heard me right. It is true that Jesus comes at Christmas, and we'll return to that. But to start with, Jesus comes before Christmas. It starts with Christ Jesus was in very nature God. Long before he took human likeness, way, way further back than the angel Gabriel and all that, in eternity past, Jesus existed. And he existed not just as some kind of spiritual entity or even as a unique spiritual power. He was and is in nature God. Jesus comes before Christmas. Now, let me ask you this evening, I wonder whether you believe in God. By the way, if you're not sure, you're welcome to be here. It's great that you're here. Do you believe in God? It's a serious, big question, isn't it? And actually, sitting around here and looking around at our existence, it's actually quite hard to answer that question, whether he exists or not, with any confidence. But the Christian message is this: there is a God, and his name is Jesus. And the only reason we have any confidence to speak about him and believe that he does exist is because, unfathomably, just way beyond what we could imagine, that divine power has appeared in time and space. He has come into our world. And that brings us to our second point, that Jesus comes at Christmas. Jesus comes at Christmas. Now, this, of course, is the obvious bit, and maybe we feel it doesn't need saying too much. Everyone knows about the baby called Jesus, for whom there is no room in the inn. Except when you realize who that Jesus is, when you realize that it was the Jesus who comes before Christmas, who comes at Christmas, then it is actually something very, very different. So here is his journey. And the Apostle Paul describes this in extraordinary words. He says it begins with a letting go, a self-emptying. Though Christ Jesus was in very nature God, he did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. What's this like? Well, I want you to imagine for a moment that you had £1 million coins. Okay, and they were all yours. They belong to you. You could spend them however you see fit. You could buy a house or go on holiday for the rest of your life or whatever. And you take your coins and you put your coins in a bag. Let's say a sort of Father Christmas bag. Sling it over your shoulder. And for the purposes of this illustration, you are also immensely strong. But let's just allow that for a moment. And you take this incredibly 2.5-ton heavy bag on the train into London, and you go to somewhere where there's a lot of people, like Trafalgar Square or whatever. And you're holding this bag, and for a moment, this bag is yours and the contents are yours. But then you tip up the bag and you release the tie that was keeping it shut, and all of the coins fall out and just roll out across the floor. And as they roll away in all sorts of directions, people pick them up and take them off to do their Christmas shopping with it. And within minutes, they are completely gone.
and you're just left there holding this empty bag. That is a very weak illustration of what happened at Christmas, of what Christ did. He let go. He took his divine status, all his heavenly riches that were totally, rightly, entirely his, stuff that should have guaranteed him unalloyed pleasure and joy and comfort forever, and he resolved to let go. And then he made himself nothing, which is just it's kind of an extraordinary thing to say, isn't it? The one who created the whole world made himself nothing. His divine majesty and power, it poured out so that he could fit into just human form. And it says he took on the nature of a servant, the one who made all things for himself and commands all things, stooped down to serve, to be ordered around even. And that's who is in the manger. Jesus comes at Christmas. It's an extraordinary thought. I wonder whether this Christmas, as you look at the Christmas cards as they come and you see the picture of the manger, you can just remember that it's that Jesus that sits in the middle. But the story doesn't stop there, according to the Apostle Paul. Jesus also came after Christmas. Jesus came after Christmas. Now, I love the anticipation of Christmas, I have to say. And, you know, I love all the sort of the glitz and so forth. I love just getting in the mood, eggnog latte, a bit of, you know, Christmas music on the radio and so forth. And I hesitate to mention it now. I don't want to have too much of a downer here this evening. But I am not a great fan of the aftermath of Christmas. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know, there's that week or so where you keep having to squash down the Christmas crackers and wrapping paper to find more space in the recycling bin. And then the Christmas tree kind of goes a bit droopy. And then somehow you just, you know, Mariah Carey really doesn't feel right at all anymore. And it's just all a little bit grim. One year, we went on holiday for a week at the crack of dawn on Boxing Day. And we actually took down all our Christmas decorations on Christmas Day, just so that we didn't have to come back to the mediocrity of after Christmas. We're going to string it out this year. Just it's okay. Okay, the kids wouldn't allow us to do that again. But anyway, I digress. Here's the thing about Jesus. The real Jesus comes after Christmas too. Our after Christmas may be a bit rubbish, but the apostle writes, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So the stable is an extraordinary humbling of the divine Son of God, but actually, Jesus' journey is not done. He keeps going down. His lifetime was a life of costly obedience. He was pursued by Herod. He was rejected by many in his family and neighborhood. He was called into conflict with the powers that be. He was persecuted by the religious authorities. He was betrayed by an associate. He was falsely accused. He was deserted by his friends and finally left to die as a criminal. The cradle of Christmas is on the way to the cross. And though it looked like a tragedy, it wasn't. It was a triumph. Jesus chose to go that way. He chose it for our sake. Because ours is a world that needs. We need more than just a child in a stable. We need more than just, we need a savior. Do you know what the word of the year is? Did anyone find out the Oxford word of the year? Does anyone know? Rage bait. Okay, rage bait is one of those things where I think it's when you post content that sort of is going to get everyone angry. Yeah, just astonishing, isn't it? 2,000 years later, that's our human condition. Top word of the year, rage bait. Rage. We are still unbelievably angry, possibly even more angry than we've ever been. And bait. And we love to wind each other up and basically do bad things to one another. That is the human condition. Top word of the year. We need saving. And actually, each one of us needs it. Not just a whole world. We're sinners. We are people who go our own way. We have rage in our own hearts, don't we? Often, actually, against the Lord who created. We live at odds with the one who made us and to whom we belong. And actually, we deserve his judgment. We deserve his rejection. But Christ came to be rejected, not just no room in the inn, but all the way to the cross, that we might be freed from the consequences of our sin. When he hung there, he took the judgment of God on himself and achieved our salvation. But that still isn't the end. It still goes on. Paul the Apostle goes on to say, God exalted him to the highest place. He gave him the name that is above every name. God raised him from the dead. He ascended to heaven. And so actually, the best way to think of Christmas is not like straight line like that. It's actually in a U shape. It's more like this. Yeah? Jesus once started up there in the glory of the Trinity. He let go of his whole status for our sake. Stooped down to become human, die on the cross. And for that reason, in recognition of this extraordinary act of sacrifice and love, he now enjoys glory and worship unmatched as ever before. And so, Paul says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So I want to say to you this evening, whatever you've understood about Christmas before now, Jesus comes after Christmas. Long after the glow of Christmas is gone, right in the middle of bleak January, the moment will come. And actually far beyond that, there is something that is glorious good news. Glorious good news for every single person. There is a way to break out beyond death. There is a way to be rid of our guilt. Jesus comes after Christmas. I wonder whether you see it that way. Well, as I say that, I imagine there's going to be various different approaches and responses in the room. Perhaps you never really thought of it like that. If that's you, by the way, I'd love you to come and join us in the new year on one of our Alpha courses. We're running them on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Natasha will say a little bit more about that in January. Great opportunity to ask some more questions, to find out more. But for now, I suppose I just want to apply it directly in one of two ways. Maybe you're here this evening, and as you think about that nativity scene, you wonder, where am I? Well, this next slide shows you where you are in the scheme. That's where you are. And that presents us with a challenge. God wants every knee to bow, every tongue to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is his desire for your heart and mine. Maybe you're here this evening and that's not where you are. Maybe that's not the reality of life. If you're honest, actually, you know that Jesus is not the Lord of your life. You are the Lord of your life. You would say your life belongs to you, not to him. And can I encourage you, if that's you this evening, take the opportunity to turn that around. Use this moment. Take stock. Where are you with Jesus Christ? Who is he to you? And put him back right at the middle of who you are. Then again, maybe you're here and you've heard this Christmas story many times, and actually you would say, yes, actually, Jesus is my Lord. And if that's you, then I would like to just share a challenge with you. And I've got to be honest here, I find Christmas pretty difficult. I love Christmas. I really do. But I also find it really, really challenging. And I think for many of us, it's a time of real challenge. There are relationships that we love and we care about, but they are maybe hard. There are pressures that we kind of choose, but they're also put us under real duress and we struggle. And perhaps there are other things specifically for you that make this part of the year quite a challenge, even as there are joys. Well, the Apostle Paul, when he described this journey of Jesus, he described it so that Christians would know how to relate to one another. And he said, in your relationships, be the same as Christ Jesus. And what he wanted for us is for us not to grab onto our rights, not to hold onto our privilege, but to pour it out for the sake of others and those around us. If you know the Lord Jesus, and if you love him, my challenge to you, and it's a challenge for me as well this Christmas, is as you look at the Christmas story, will you go that way yourself? In the same way that God stooped down to the manger, Will you live for those around you with the same self-emptying generosity? I do pray for myself and for you that that will be something that rings true in a new way this Christmas. We've got some time now to respond, and Natasha's going to lead us in a time of prayer.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.